Today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadik Dalin, and we are at the Mishnah, three lines from the bottom of Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis. More halacha is related to the Gid Hanosha. Says the Mishnah, Shaleach Adam Yerech Lo'ovid Koychavim. A person is allowed to give or sell a thigh to a non-Jew, Shegid Hanosha B'Soicha, despite the fact that the Gid Hanosha is in the thigh, Mipnei Shem Mekoy Meiniker. Because if you have a complete thigh, it's going to be obvious that the Gid Hanosha is inside. As a result, there's nothing to be concerned about, and there's no reason for the Chachamim to prohibit giving the thigh of an animal that has a Gid Hanosha inside of it to a non-Jew. Now, what would be the thought that maybe there should be an issue to give the Yerech with the Gid HaNosha inside of it to a non-Jew? There's no Isser HaNah in the Gid HaNosha per se. The Gid HaNosha is Aser B'Achila, it's not Aser B'Hanah. There are certain Macholos Asuros that are Aser B'Achila and Aser B'Hanah. Chametz on Pesach, you can't eat, you also can't benefit from. Tilei HaKerem is something that you're not allowed to eat, you also can't benefit from. But then there are Isurei Achila that are only Aser B'Achila, but there is no Isur Hanah. For example, Nevelis and Treifas, you're not allowed to eat, but you can tell it to a guy, there's no Isur Hanah. Gid Hanosha is something that's Aser B'Achila, but there's no Isur Hanah when it comes to Gid Hanosha. So there's nothing wrong, per se, to take your Gid Hanosha and give it to a non-Jew. Instead of throwing it out, you might as well sell it. You might as well get something from it. You just can't physically eat it, but you're allowed to benefit from it. Stating that, Chachamim thought that maybe there should be an issue. Because if you're going to give a piece of meat that has the Gid HaNosha inside of it to a non-Jew, maybe you need to be concerned that the non-Jew is going to turn around and he's going to give it or sell it to one of his Jewish friends. And if he's going to sell it with the Gid HaNosha inside of it, it's going to come out that you, by giving the Gid HaNosha, kosher meat with Gid HaNosha inside of it to the non-Jew, were indirectly machshel the yid that's going to end up buying it from the guy. So based on that, you would think that maybe it's not okay to take a thigh with the Gid HaNosha inside of it, give it to a non-Jew, lest he go ahead and sell it to a Jew. Stating that, the Mishnah says it's okay. Shaleach Adam Yerech Levi Kechavim Shegid HaNosha B'Soicha. And the reason is, with Nesha Mekoy Meiniker, because being that we're discussing giving a complete thigh, so it would be nicker if the Gid HaNosha is there or not there. The process of removing the Gid HaNosha, what's called Nikar, which we didn't really talk about yet, is a complex process, and it leaves a little bit of a mess behind. So whether the Gid HaNosha is in the Yerech or not the Yerech is very much identifiable. Thus, there's no Michshol that's going to come from it. Because if someone's going to buy this Yerech from a non-Jew, he'll know whether the Gid HaNosha is there or not. So there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to go ahead and give it. Stating that, the Gemara is going to immediately make a very obvious deal. It sounds like the only time it's okay to give the Yerech to the non-Jew is if Mekoy Mo'ez Nikar, meaning you're giving him an entire Yerech. So being that you have a Nerech with the Gid HaNosha inside of it, so you'll know the Gid HaNosha is there. Because if you remove it, you're going to see the result of the Nikar, as therefore you have nothing to worry about. There's no Michshol that's going to come from it. It sounds, however, what if you took a piece of meat, you chopped it up, but you never removed the Gid HaNosha, where it won't be Nikar. You don't have a complete Yerech where you know if the Gid HaNosha is there or not there. But rather you have cut up pieces of meat. It sounds like in that case, it's not going to be good. And that's the Gemara's immediate dik. Shleima in Chatur Chavai. It sounds like the only time it's mutter to be Shaleach Yerech Levi Kechavim Shegid HaNosha B'Soicha is if it's a Yerech Shleima. If, however, it's going to be Chatucha, it sounds like it's not going to be okay. But the Gemara says, I don't understand. B'maya Skinon. And really, before the B'maya Skinon, you need a little bit of an introduction. An introduction of Metzias about the way things were once upon a time. Once upon a time, in the Yiddish shtetl, all the butchers were Jews. All the butchers were Shaychtim. And really, because of the fact that all the butchers were Shaychtim, it really brought about a tremendous kula. And that is, you're allowed to walk into the shuk, technically, even from a non-Jew, by meat. Because you know for sure all the butchers were Jews, so they all had a kosher shechita. And really, the only thing you'd have to worry about was maybe there was a little bit of a slip-up. At the time of the shechita, maybe the sheichit messed up with one of the five halachas l'moshe m'sinai. Or maybe it was a treifa. But being that roiv animals are not treifas, and you know, the thought that maybe the butcher messed up in the shechita, that's not so reasonable. So as a result, the halach it was that based on the Ikar Adin, you were able to walk into the shuk. It didn't matter who was selling the meat to you, it was going to be okay. stating that Chama weighed a hand, the Chama made a takana. Chama said, I don't want you to buy meat from a non-Jew. He said, why not? All the butchers are Jews. He said, sure, the butchers are Jews, but you never know. And there is a small possibility that maybe this non-Jew that's selling the meat to you, he wanted to improve his margins a little bit. So what he decided was he started doing his own shechitas. And even though it's not so likely, and from a roiv miyot standpoint, it really you can go bus a roiv and assume that's not what happened. But the Chachamim said, I'm starting to get a little uncomfortable, because really, even if you have a Jewish butcher, you know there's always a meat of animals that are treifas, without a question. So take the meat of animals at treifas and the miut of oivdei kechavim that maybe would do their own shechita. You mitzarev the two miutim, and the Chachamim said, even though midairaisa, you still have a roif, but midrabanan, it's not okay. You can't go ahead and buy meat from a non-Jew in the shuk. And this posed a little bit of a challenge. It was inconvenient. So what the Chachamim did was, or the askanim, they decided that we need to address this takanas Chachamim. And they had the perfect solution. They decided that from now on, any time there is a treifa, meaning anytime you have a butcher, a kosher shoichet, who shechts an animal, and he has an animal that's a treifa, they're going to make an announcement in the shuk that today there was a treifa. Now, for some reason, the assumption is that if there was a treifa today, there's no chashash that it would be sold tomorrow. So the day that the treifa was found, that's the day that it's going to be sold. So they decided, we're going to make an announcement that today there was a treifa, and they had some code of exactly the way they made the announcement. If we have time, we're going to get to it in the end of Amud Bez. But the Gemara says that they would make this announcement, and once they made this announcement, the Yidden knew that today you have to worry. What's the reason you shouldn't be able to buy from a guy? Because of the two miyutim. There's a miyut of treifas. So even if you had a good haimish shoichet, there is a miyut of treifas. And number two, if you're buying it from a guy, maybe he shechted it in his backyard, even though we don't know it as being a licensed butcher. But it could be he did it anyways. So the two miyutim, you have to be concerned. But once we alleviate one of the two miyutim, so now there's no reason anymore to have a chash d'rabbanan. So that's what the askanim did. They decided that we're going to make this announcement, and if we make this announcement, and the chachamim accepted it. They said, yeah, got it. They bought it. They said, if you make an announcement and you, anytime there's a treifa, you let it be known. So as long as you're buying it on a day where they didn't make this announcement, if it's a makom shemachrizin, that would be enough to allow you to go ahead and to buy it now from a guy. But there were places where they didn't accept this minhag. And places where they didn't make those announcements, the takanas chachamim was in effect, which was you're not allowed to buy from non-Jews. So the bottom line is this. There were two krizin in Klal Yisrael. There were two types of shteitlach. There was a shteitlach where you were allowed to buy meat from a non-Jew, and there was shteitlach where you were not allowed to buy meat from a non-Jew. Midday Raisa, you should have always been able to, because midday Raisa, you were allowed to rely on a roiv. The metzias was all the butchers were Jews. If that wouldn't be the metzias, it would be a whole different conversation. But we're accepting that that's the way it was. So being that all the butchers were Jews, midday Raisa, you were always allowed to assume that most meat in circulation was kosher meat, called the parish, but with parish, you really didn't have to worry about anything. Stating that, the Rabbanon were concerned. So the way to circumvent the Rabbanon's concern was to make an announcement. If you announce every time there's a treifa, then if there was no announcement, you can go ahead and you could buy it with the assumption that there are no treifas in circulation. So the b'makom shemachrizin, in a place where they would make the announcement, it was okay to buy meat on a day that they didn't make that announcement. Or on a b'makom she'imachrizin, in a place where they didn't make the announcement, over there it was not okay because it is tachanas chachamim to buy meat. We're discussing a different shiloh. We're discussing selling meat to a guy or giving meat to a guy. So what would be the concern? At first glance, the concern would be, if you're going to sell meat to a guy, the guy may go ahead and sell it to a yid. But the truth is, whether or not that should be an issue should depend on whether it's okay to buy meat from a guy. Right? If you're allowed to buy meat from a guy, then it should not be okay to sell meat to a guy. Because there may be a michshol. It may lead indirectly to a lifnei iver. I'm going to sell it to the guy who's going to sell it to the yid. But if the yid's anyways not allowed to buy it from the guy, so what's the concern? I'm going to sell it to a guy and he's going to sell it to a yid? He's not allowed to sell it to a yid. Or the yid's not allowed to buy it from him. So there's no concern. So there's an inverse relationship with regards to whether I can sell it to a guy and whether the yid can buy it from a guy. If a yid can buy from a guy, then it should be also for the yid to sell to a guy. If a yid is not allowed to buy from a guy, then it should be mutter for a yid to sell to a guy. Now, what did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that if you want to sell the hindquarters of the animal with the gedanosh is, you want to sell it, and what it depends on, is it a yerech shleima or is it a yerech hatucha? Yerech shleima, there you don't have to be worried. Nothing's going to come from it because you'll know if the gedanosh is there or not. If it's chatucha, it's chopped up already. How are you going to know if the gedanosh was removed or not removed? For eating gemara, why is the tliya in the Mishnah whether it's shleima or chatucha? Ptucha. Really, what it should depend on is whether it's a Makam Shemachrizin or a Makam Shemachrizin. Because if it's a Makam Shemachrizin, which means that you're allowed to buy from a guy, then it should be also to sell it. It doesn't matter if it's Chatucha Shlema. And if it's a Makam Shemachrizin, which means that you're not allowed to buy from a guy, then it should be Mutta to sell it. Again, it doesn't matter if it's a Chatucha or if it's a Shlema. So either way, a little bit of a long-winded introduction, but it's really a big part of today's daf. The beginning of the daf, and then again the whole Lamed Beis. Either way, so Zoktigim Ma'ariv Ma'yaskin. Are we talking about a Makam She'im Machrizin? And if it's a Makam She'im Machrizin, means you're not allowed to buy from a guy. So if that's the case, you should be allowed to sell it to him. Chatucha Nami L'Shadale. You should be able to sell it to him even if it's Chatucha. Because nothing's going to come from him. No one's buying it from him anyways. Elo Makam She'im Machrizin. Elo Ma'ay. We're talking about a Makam She'im Machrizin, where you're allowed to buy from a guy. Thus the chashash, a shleima nami lo l'shadalei, then you shouldn't even be able to sell it to him shleima. And the reason is, what do you mean? You're going to tell me. It's a makom shemachrizin. So you're allowed to buy from a guy. So why should it not be okay to sell him a shleima? Don't you think by the shleima it's going to be nicker? Mar says, yeah, it's nicker if the guy doesn't chop it up. But the chatechle mazmalei, you sold it to him shleima. Doesn't mean he's going to sell it shleima. So aren't you concerned that he's going to chop it up? So the Gemara says three truths. Iba yisem with makom shemachrizin, iba yisem with makom she'imach. Reason. You can say the Mishnah is talking about Makam Shemachrizin. It's talking about a place where it's Machrizin. If it's Machrizin, really, you're allowed to buy from a guy. If you're allowed to buy from a guy, it should be Aser to sell to a guy. Right? It's the inverse. If you can buy it, you can't sell it. So you're allowed to buy. Being that you're allowed to buy, it should be Aser to sell. What's the Kasha? If it's Aser to sell, I understand why you can't sell it chopped up. But why can you sell it Shlema? You shouldn't be able to sell it Shlema either. What do you mean? There's no Chash. The Yid will see. That'll always see if the guy sells it to him shleima. Why are you concerned that the guy's going to cut it up? So the Gemara says, Chitucha David Kechavin made the idea. The guy used to chop it up differently than when the Yid used to chop it up. See, a Yid would chop up the Yerech in a way that it was easy for him to remove the Gidan Asha. So he would chop it along its length. The guy doesn't care about the Gidan Asha. So there's a Simen Muvak. When you buy a piece of meat, you can know whether it was chopped by a Yid or by a guy. Thus, you would be able to know whether it was sold in a state of chatucha, or sold in a state of shleima. By yisayim, you could say makom she'im machrizin. Really, the Mishnah is talking about b'makom she'im machrizin, which means it's also to buy from a guy. If it's also to buy from a guy, then what's the problem to sell it? Give him even the chatucha. Why does the Mishnah say only the yerech shleima you're allowed to give the guy? You should be able to give him the chatucha as well. The Gemara says gzeira shema yitnenu lebefnei yisrael lachar. It's a new chashash. The chashash is we're afraid that maybe somebody's going to see you giving this yerech to a guy. A yid. He's going to be walking by as this transaction is happening. And he's going to assume for sure it's kosher. And that there's no Girdan Asher there. Because he's a Yid handling in meat. He's probably handling in kosher meat. So he's going to think for sure that there's no Girdan Asher there. And he may go ahead and buy it from a guy. So you're right. This is not a big macro concern. Because if you look at it from a high level, you're not allowed to buy meat from a guy. But Makom She'im Machrizin. So there's no real concern that he's going to resell it in his butcher store. But there is a more specific concern that maybe Punk the Yidl is going to be walking by as this happened, and he's going to think, oh, there's a kosher piece of meat that he's going to buy from a guy. So because of this new chashash, the Chachamim said, don't sell. Iba Yaseim, the Gemara says, could be you could say a third terrorist. So the first two were rather technical. The third one is very interesting. And it's so interesting that the Gemara is going to digress with it for an Amud, and it's something that has ripple effects in halacha. It's something that we're all familiar with. But what we probably didn't realize is that the makar to this halacha, again, that we're all familiar with, so some suspense and foreshadowing, is tucked away right here. Chulin Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph. What's the third teretz of the Gemara? Coming to explain a very technical one-line Mishnah in Chulin Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis of Perek Yedan Asha. The answer is Mishum de Kagon of Leila Daite. There's a whole different concern. The reason that you're not allowed to sell him, you're not allowed to give him chatucha that has Gidan Asha in it, because when the guy takes the meat from the Yid, he is going to take it with the assumption that it's kosher. Because again, a Yid usually handles in kosher meat. If it's going to have Gid Hanasha inside of it, you're fooling the guy. You're fooling him. He thinks it's kosher, right? And now it turns out that really it wasn't. You're going to be Goinev Das of the guy. You're violating the Isser Genevis Das. And it's because of the Isser Genevis Das that the Chachamim said, Shleima, there's no Genevis Das. You see exactly what's going on. The chatucha, you don't see what's going on. The guy for sure thinks he's giving him a kosher piece of meat. Kosher means there's no gedanasha. Now, there really is a Gedan Osho, there's no problem. There's no michshol. We're going to Makom Shem Machriz, and you're not allowed to buy meat from a guy. So he's not reselling it to any Jews. He has no koinim that are Jews. No Haimish Yid is walking into this guy's butcher shop and buying meat from him. There's nothing, there's no lifnei evil lacing to michshol. You know what the problem is? You're fooling the guy, and that's not okay. How do you know that? The Amash Shmuel said it. Also, there's an Isik Nevis Das, Vafilu Daita Shalavikachavim. Even a guy says the Gemara of other Shmuel, even though this is quoted in the name of Shmuel, Abatheresh Itmar, Elamichlal Itmar. Shmuel never really said it, but it was something that was inferred from a Maisa Shahoya Kachoya. The Shmuel, Habakov, Bemad. Shmuel was once crossing a river, and he was on a ferry. Amale l'shamoy, so he told his gabai, Paisi l'mabure, go give him a tip. So the Gemara says, Paisi, he tipped him, Ve'ikbid. And Shmuel was disappointed. Says the Gemara, my time ikbid. Why was he upset? Amar Abai says, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Tanagoy was trefa avoy. You know why? Because this gaba gave the sailor, who was not Jewish, a tarnagoyless, that was a trefa. V'yavinahale mar d'shchuta. And he wanted him, Shmuel thought, that he was going to give him a shchuta. So Shmuel was disappointed in the fact that he gave him a tarnagoyless that was a trefa, and not what he thought he was going to give him, which was a tarnagoyless. Rava said, "Anpaka amalei lashguye v'ashkei chamre meziga." Rava said the story was a little bit different. That what happened was Shmuel told the gabbai what to tip him. He said, "Give him wine," but he told him, "Give him wine that's anpaka, undiluted wine, which was more chashev." By the way, there's so many members in Shas. We always speak this out with Rava and wine. It's very interesting. So Rava said, "Anpaka." No, he wanted to give him undiluted wine, and instead, what he did was, leave that for the historians, he gave him diluted wine, and that's why he was disappointed. He gave him chamra maziga. So the Gemara says, v'chim l'chlala mai. It sounds like it wasn't clear that although Shmuel was disappointed, he was disappointed because of Gnei V'Zas. Again, why are we bringing Shmuel? The Gemara says that Shmuel held that you're not allowed to be Gnei V'Das. There's an Isser Gnei V'Das, even from a non-Jew. And you're supposed to see it in this story, but it's not mefurish in this story. Where do you see it in the story? You see it because it seems that this gabbai who was tipping the sailor didn't do exactly what Shmuel wanted him to do. And Shmuel seemed to think that he was fooling the sailor, and it bothered him that he was fooling the sailor. He's giving him a tarnagoyless under the pretense, under the premise that this is a kosher tarnagoyless, and really it's a tarnagoyless that's a trefa. He's giving him wine under the premise that it's undiluted wine. He thinks it's 18 years old, and it turns out, you know, he poured out the 18-year-old and he replaced it with the 12-year-old. Right? There's an element of Gnei V'Zas. But if that's the case, then it wouldn't be just inferred from the Maisa that Shmuel holds as an Issig Gnei V'Zas when it comes to Evi Kechavim. It would be pretty clear. And the Gemara says it's only inferred. So the Gemara says, why? Why is it only the Chibel Chlolomai? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because it could be there's another reason that Shmuel was upset. Something Muchach. Shmuel never said he's upset because of Gnei V'Zas. The assumption is that that's why he was upset. But it could be there were other reasons why he was upset. Lamanda Matreifa, according to Lamanda that says that what happened was he gave him a tarnagoyless treifa. Amalei, I can tell you why Shmuel might have been upset. He said, Amaitish Isur, why do you have a tarnagoyless treifa? You know, his gabba is walking around with a tarnagoyless treifa. He was very upset at him. And Lamanda Anpaka, according to Lamanda that says that it was that he gave him the diluted wine instead of Anpaka. Amalei Lashkui Anpaka Chayimash. Kumi was just upset at him, not because of the fact that he fooled the person, but because he didn't listen to him. He said, I asked you to tip 18%, you tipped 15%, or 12%, right? He was pashut upset that he didn't follow what he had asked him to do, not necessarily upset because of the Gnei V'Zas issue. But regardless, even though there were two ways, apparently, to interpret whatever happened, and there were even two versions of what exactly the story was. So we have two versions of the story, and two possible interpretations of the story, regardless of what the version of the story is. The Gemara comes out and says, Omar Shmua, Osir Lignov Das Abrios, it's Osir to be going to Das Abrios, the Filu Daito Shalov de Kichav. What does it have to do with Perikid Anosha? That's the third pshat. That's the Ibayis Ema of what the Mishnah could be referring to, that the reason it's not okay to take a cut-up thigh that has gidanosha and give it to your non-Jew, is because the non-Jew for sure thinks you're giving him kosher meat, and if you give him non-kosher meat, it comes out you're being over the Isser Gnei V'Zas. You say, what do you mean? But he's not a Yid. You're right, but Shmuel said, also lignim das abriyos, v'afilu daitoy shel oivdei kechavim. And on that note, a little bit of a light digression. Tanya, Rameyer Oimer. Rameyer said, al yisari v'adam l'chaveir, listen, that's like, a person shouldn't invite his friend over to his house, v'yadeya b'sh'enei say, if he knows for sure he's not going to come. So really, you wouldn't send him the invitation, but you know, he's not going to show up anyway. So you might as well be a nice guy. You might as well send it to him. So that's this halacha right here. You shouldn't try to give him a gift if you know for sure that this person is the type of person that doesn't accept gifts. So don't push him and pester him. Take it. Because you know that he's not going to accept it anyway. So it could be in your mind you don't really plan on giving it to him. But you're making him think that you were going to give it to him, so you're being kind of daita. You're fooling him. That's not okay. So apparently, once upon a time, so we're learning a lot of sociological history today, sociology. So once upon a time, there was this custom that if a chashva person would come to your house, so you would open up a new barrel of wine. And really, the reason it was a chashivos is because, you know, a lot of wine was stored in this one cask, this one's barrel, and there could be a tremendous hefset. So what happens if somebody comes to your house, and really the person's not so chash, if you never open up a barrel for them, but it just so happens that you just cut a deal with your local company that you're going to sell them your wine. So this is a perfect opportunity. He walks into your house, he says, oh, I'm so happy here, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up this cask has been sitting here for, it's aged however many years, and you pour it out to him. So this person thinks, wow, he's so machsh of me, but in reality you would have never done it. The only reason you're doing it is because you sold it already. So you, this is being shipped out. It's going to be bottled tonight. So says the Remeir, this is another example of Gnevis Das. This is not okay. Another Allah. If you have a pach, an empty jug, and you tell, would you like some shemen? You know the person's not going to take oil. And you know, you're praying that he doesn't open it up and look inside. You say, why don't you take some? No, it's good. It's good. Take it. If it's empty, that's Gnevis Das. Here we have the first caveat. If it's being done for the person's covering, you're not doing it for yourself. Meaning, I'm not doing this, I want to look good. I'm doing this, I want to be mechaberim. It's in a public place, let's say, or there are other people that you think he would benefit from if he looked good in their eyes. So you're doing it for the person, for the recipient. So that would be an example where some of the aforementioned would be okay. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true? And Rabbi Yehuda opened up for him a new barrel of wine. Now this barrel had already been, he had earmarked that he was going to sell it to the Chenveni. So we just said that's not okay. Wasn't that one of the examples where it's not where it's considered Gnevis Das? So the Gemara gives two roots. One teretz says, Iduya Oide. Either he notified him, he told him. He said, he didn't fool him. He didn't fool Ula, Rav Yehuda. He said, I have barrels of wine. I'm selling it to the Chenveni, but you know, why don't we just open it now? But Yibaya say, Mishani, Ula's different. The Chavav Leilu, Rav Yehuda, because we so Chavav to Rav Yehuda, Blav Hachinam, Yipsuchim Niftachle. So even though it's true, he was only opening something that was already destined to be sold to the Chenveni, but being that it was Ula who was so chavav to Rabbi Yehuda, he would have done it anyways. So again, this seems to be the second caveat. We have a few carve outs here of maybe where it's going to be okay. Another halacha. So once upon a time, in a base oval, they would drink a lot of wine. But there was a lot of wine. It says the Braisa, you're not allowed to go to a base oval and bring a bottle of wine. It looks like it's full, but really it's not full. Additionally, you're not allowed to fill it up with water. Oldest trick in the book. Because you're fooling him. If, however, there's a chashev tzibur and you're doing it to be menachem the aveilim, because you want the aveilim to feel good and they're going to look good if a shiny yid walks in with a shiny bottle. So, you know, in that case, maybe it's going to be okay. You're not allowed to sell to your friend a sandal, shoes, that were made from the hide of an animal that died on its own. Under the premise that really it's from the hide of an animal that was a healthy animal that had shechita. So it's a Gnevis Das type of halacha. What you're doing is you're selling a sandal shomesa under the guise that it's really the sandal of a shechuta. Why? Well, why is this even an issue? You have to know the history of the animal from where the hide came. Says the Gemara Mipnei Peizdvam. There's two reasons. Echad Mipnei Shemateo. Number one, you're fooling him. The Echad Mipnei HaSakana. Oh, by the way, forget the whole Gnevis Das issue. There happens to be a Sakana element as well. So Rashi says the Sakana is that maybe the animal died from some infection or something that's really contagious, and it was in the hide, which went into the shoe, which went into the person's foot. So it seems very, very far-fetched. But at the same time, Mipnei HaSakana, sometimes the Chachamim thought the unthinkable. And in this case, this is something that you need to be concerned about. You shouldn't send to your friend the chavir shal yayin and put a little bit of oil on top so that it should look like you're giving him oil and not giving him wine. So you think wine is more chashuv than oil. But you want the wine floating on top so it should look like it's oil when really it's wine. You're going to fool him. Says the Gemara, Umaisa, there was a story. This exact thing happened. Somebody sent his friend wine and there was a little bit of oil on top. The person thought he had oil. So you know what he did? He invited guests over. Thought he has this big barrel of oil and we're going to have what to dip our pitas into, and it was perfect. And they all came to eat. Matzah, they opened it up, they poured it out, and there was a lot to drink. But there was nothing to eat. And the Gemara says this balabayas, the balachsanya, was so distraught by what happened. The chanachas atzmai. He choked himself. The Eina Arachin says the Gemara, Rasham Lita Mimashal Fame. A similar halacha. If you're a guest in somebody's house, so Eina Reach Machnas Reach. So you're a guest in somebody's house, you can't start feeding other, you can't tell people what to eat, and right, some guests, they make themselves very at home. But you're not allowed to do that, so you can take your shoes off, but this you can't do. So you can't go in and start in telling the Balabayas, his kids, why don't you come? Why don't you eat a little bit? You're a guest. You sit. Whatever they give you, you come. Mashallah, like Balabayas, I say. But if you're the guest, you can't, again, you're not allowed to do, this is the Kiddush, even tell the Balabayas, his kids, that why don't you come join us? Your own kids, forget about it. We're talking about the Balabayas, his kids. Even that's not okay. So, unless they get permission. Says the Gemara, Umaisa, there was a story, a very tragic story. Somebody invited three guests, it was during a hunger year. All he had was three eggs. That was the whole meal. So the Orchim are sitting, and the son of the Balabayas came, not al echad mehem. He took his chelik, and he gave it to his son. V'chein sheni, v'chein mishlishi. And then the second son and the third son came. So the guests ended up taking the eggs and they gave it to the three kids. But v'shaltinoik, the father of the kid came. Matzah, he saw she'oizek echad b'fiv. He saw that he had one egg. There was one son. So he had this one egg in his mouth. Ushtayim b'yodai. And the other two were in his two hands. The guests had given the son their eggs. And the kid had taken the three eggs. Said the Gemara says, Chofte Bekarka. The father was so upset at the kid. Why are you taking the eggs away from the ark? Now he didn't take anything. They gave it to him. But he was so mad at him that he hit him, umes, and he died. When the mother saw what happened to her son and that her husband killed her son, also the gag, she went to the roof, Venafla Umesa. She jumped off the roof and she died. And when the father saw what happened to his son and to his wife, Afhu Alalagag, he too went up to the roof, Venafla Umesa, and he died. Amr Abliyeza ben Yaakov, Rablezer ben Yaakov said, Al Dover Zen Nergu Gimel Nefashis Mi Yisrael. Because of this one little seeming violation of an Issa de Rabbanon, because of this, three Nefashis Mi Yisrael were killed. Wait, talk to Gemara, Michael Mashman. What is Rablezer ben Yaakov coming to add? I mean, the Brisa was pretty self-explanatory. The Brisa said, you're not allowed to do this. And then the Brisa says, Maisa Shahaya, where three people died. So the Gemara, Amr Abliyeza ben Yaakov, Al Dover Zen Nergu Gimel Nefashis Mi Yisrael. And really, if you want to add a little oomph to the kasha, we know Mishnasa Yishol Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is kaven. There's very little kavenaki. Kav means there's very little Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and Shaz venaki. But everything he said was so refined and precise. That's why the halacha is always like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So here you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov saying something that seems to be obvious. I mean, everything he said seems to be rather self-explanatory. So the Gemara says, you're right, but you know why we mentioned it? To tell us the Kul Razim ben Yaakov. Because up until that last line, we didn't know who the author of the Brisa was. Kamash Malan, you know who said this? This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why does it matter? It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So Pashuk is like we just said. Mishnasa is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. That loch is always like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Being that loch is always like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So this is not just the Brisa. Right, they're Brises and they're Brises. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Oh, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanoki. So not only do we have a story with a tragic ending and an interesting halacha midrabon and all be, but it doesn't matter. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. And a Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov needs to be treated differently. Because Mishnah is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is Kavanoki. You know, thing is, the one ha'ara, in light of all the raid we spoke at in Masachtes Menachos, I think it was Daf Samach Aleph, is that when we say Mishnasa Ish Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanok, is it only Mishnasa Ish Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? What about a Brisa of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? This is a Brisa. This is not a Mishnah. Okay, it's for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Either way, it's up to Gemara Vaita. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara is going to return to the original sugya, Makam Shemachrizin, Makam Sheim Machrizin, selling a Yerech shleima or chatucha to a non-Jew when there's gid hanasha inside, based on a cheshash that the non-Jew may resell it, then the Gemara is going to come back to Geneva's Das, and then we'll speak out a little bit on Geneva's Das, but another intense Amid Gemara. Tan Rabbanon, Hashle, Yach Yerech L'Chaveiro, if somebody sells a Yerech to his friend, Shleima, if it's a complete Yerech, Ein Yitzar Chshito Amed Gedanasha, he doesn't have to remove the Gedanasha. I mean, there's no halacha that before you send it to him, you have to remove the Gedanasha, because what are you worried about? That the person's going to assume that you get Shalach Manas, that you think, and there's meat in there. You assume he took out the Gid Anasha. But in the event that, right, there's no Gid Anasha, and that he didn't take out, you'll know, because you know, you get a fine, FedEx. You'll know what's going on. But says the Gemara Chatucha, if it's chopped up, then Tzarech Lidon El Gid Anasha. Then, Fashteitzach, you have to take out the Gid Anasha, because if the sender is a Yid, you assume for sure there's no Gid Anasha inside. If, however, you're sending it to a non-Jew, Bein Chatucha, Bein Shleima, Ein Tzarech Litol Himen Gid Anasha. You do not have to remove the Gid Anasha. So if you're selling the Yerech to a non-Jew, it doesn't matter if it's Chatucha or Shleima, you don't have to remove the Gid Anasha. Now, this is in sharp contrast to what the Mishnah said. What did the Mishnah say? Hashilech, Shalech Adam Yerech Levi Kechavim, Shegid Anasha B'Soichem Ibnesha Mekoy Minikr. And the Gemara was Medayek. It sounds like Ibnesha Mekoy Minikr, we're talking about a complete Yerech. Shleima in Chatucha Loi. And we had three Pshatim to understand the difference between Shleima and Chatucha and what exactly the Mishnah is discussing. So here we have a Braisa that contradicts the Mishnah. Uba'ovi Kechavim, if you're sending a Yerech to an Ovi Kechavim, it doesn't matter Ben Chatucha or Shleima Ein Tzarech Litol Amen Gid Anasha. You're allowed to give it him with the Gedanosh inside. The Gemara is going to talk about. Nay, based dvarim amru another halach. You're not allowed to sell neveilos atreves to a guy. Echa mebneshe mateyu. The ech number one because you're fooling him. What do you mean you're fooling him? Geneva stas. Same third ibayi same in the previous Gemara. A guy gets meat from Yid. He thinks it's kosher meat. He thinks it's on the higher standard of kosher meat. It turns out it's really not. The echad additionally, shem yachsev in kriyali Yisrael acher. There's a chashash that he may go ahead and sell. Now, if you think about it for a second, just to pause, the first halach and the second halach seem to contradict each other. So, when it comes to a guy, you're allowed to give him meat even with the gedanasha inside. It doesn't matter if it's shleimah chatucha, ain't tzarich litan le'emenu gedanasha. At first glance, because there's no concern that he's going to resell it. I mean, that's what it sounds like. And then, in the next breath, ein meichin neveilos atreves levi kechavim. You're not allowed to give him neveilos atreves. Two reasons. The second reason is, shem yachsim reali yisrael, because we are concerned that he may resell it. So the Gemara, again, will address all this. V'leyemer adam levi kechavim. In a third halacha, a person is not allowed to tell a guy, kachli bedinar zer basar, buy, here's a dinar, and go buy meat for me. That this seems pretty okay, right? You tell him, go to your local butcher shop. Here, you have a few dollars, and go buy me a piece of meat. So what's the problem? The reason is, number one, Rashi says that the Ovdei Kechavim are sometimes becheskas that they don't pay. So, Pasha, we feel bad for the butcher. Butcher's going to give it to the non-Jew, and then the non-Jew is going to say, you know, joke's on you, I'm not giving you the money. So, number one, Mepnei Anasim, the Echad Shema Meichel in Avelos Atreifes. Then there's a more Yerideya Cheshash that if a non-Jew walks into a butcher shop, the Meicher Yisrael may think the non-Jew is buying it for himself. So he may say, oh, perfect, I had this neveilos and treifas, I didn't even know what to do with it. Oh, a non-Jew just walked in, I'm going to give him my non-kosher piece of meat. Little does he know that this non-Jew is really buying it for his Heimish boss. And it turns out he's going to be Mashal Yisrael. So Mepnei Beis Dvarim, the halach is that this is not okay. Either way, so the Braisa said four halachas. One discussed selling a Yerech to a Yid, and then there were three halachas that discuss selling meat or buying meat in the context of a Jew and a non-Jew. The Gemara now is going to analyze the latter three cases of the Braisa. Again, what were the three cases? The first one was that if you want to give a Yerech of an animal to a non-Jew, you can give it to him and you do not have to remove the Gid Anasha. Doesn't matter if it's Shleima or if it's Chatucha, you ain't tzarech litel lemer Gid Anasha, which is in contrast to what the Mishnah said. But that's what the first halacha of the Braisa. That's Nogeya, what the Gemara is going to discuss now. The next halacha is, you're not allowed to sell neveilos atreifes to a guy. Two reasons. Geneva stas, and number two, Shema yachzer v'yim turen al Yisrael. We're afraid they may resell. Number three, which is a big chiddush, is that you're not even allowed to give money to a non-Jew to go buy meat for you. And there's two reasons. Number one, because we're looking out for the butcher, we're afraid that the non-Jew may not pay him. And number two, Shema Meichel in Veil Sotrefis. He may sell him the Veil Sotrefis, assuming that the end user is going to be the non-Jew. Regarding the first of the latter three halachas, don't have to remove the Gidanasha, but Maya Skin. What are we talking about? Even Malcolm Shemach reason, going back to the beginning of the daf. Are we talking about a place where they would announce if there was Nevelis and Trefus? Therefore, again, we're not going to chazer over that Hakdama. Therefore, it's mutter, therefore, to buy meat from a non-Jew, because if there were ever a trefa, they would make the announcement. Thus, you're allowed to buy meat from a non-Jew. If you're allowed to buy meat from a non-Jew, why is it okay then to give the non-Jew a yere chatucha that has gedanosha in it? Chatucha may ain't tzarech li tilemet gedanosha. Kivon doloy achris. Why aren't you concerned that a yid's going to go ahead and buy? So shleima is not a problem, like the Mishnah said, because shleima is always noticeable. So no concern, no takol is coming from a yerech shleima as it relates to gedanosha. But as it relates to chatucha, it shouldn't be okay, because being that it's a makash machrizin, so it should be a problem. It's pashit that case of the price is discussing a makash machrizin. It's a place where they didn't make the announcement. So being that they didn't make the announcement, it is usur to buy from a guy. If it's usher to buy from a guy, so then it's mutter to sell to a guy. And even a chatucha, where the gedanasha wasn't removed, there's no, what's the concern? That the guy's going to sell it to a yid? He's not going to sell it to a yid, because he may try to, but a yid's not allowed to buy. It's halacha. There's a takonas chachamim in b'makom shem achriz, and a yid's not allowed to buy from a guy. So it's pashit, says the Gemara. Ela pshita, right? Sometimes the Gemara says it as pshita. It's pashit. It's self-evident that with this ili b'makom shem achriz, that case is discussing a place where it's osir to buy meat from a guy. If it's osir to buy meat from a guy, that's why it's mutter to give him the yerech chatucha with the gedanosha. But the Gemara says, emitzi osir. Look at the next case. There's two reasons you're not allowed to sell nevel shetreves to a guy. The second reason is because he may resell to a yid. But if we're talking about a place, then a yid's not allowed to buy from the guy anyway. So why can't you sell him the veil to Trefus? That's the stira we spoke out when we went through the price in real time. So you're allowed to give him the yerech chatucha with the gedanasha inside, because there's no concern he's going to sell to a guy, because it's b'makom shem achrizin, he's not allowed to buy it from him anyways. But at the same time, you can't give him the nevelos atreifis because we're afraid he's going to resell it. Man of shach. If we're dealing in a makom shem achrizin, you have nothing to worry about. Elo pshita, says the Gemara. It's pashit, but makom shem achrizin. The only way to understand it is a makom shem achrizin where a yid's allowed to buy from a guy. So if he's allowed to buy from a guy, you can't now give the guy the nevelos atreifis. Mar says, Ema seifa, let's learn the last halacha. You're not allowed to give a guy money to go buy meat for you. And for two reasons. Echel ebnei anasin, the echel shem amoychim le nevelos atreifis. Number one, he may not pay the butcher. We feel bad for the butcher. And number two, the butcher may sell this guy in the Veil Sotrefis thinking that he's eating it for himself, not knowing that it's really going to his boss. If we're talking about then what are you worried about? If in fact the butcher has a trefa and he's gonna give it now to the guy, then there would have been a hachrasa. So what are you worried about? You're worried that maybe there's a trefa and he's going to give it to the guy? If you live in a makom shem achriz, that means you can't just have a trefa. If you have a trefa, there's a whole announcement, there's pashkevillin. It's a big deal. It stops traffic when there's a trefa. That's the way it is. You have to make a big fuss about it. That's the only reason you're allowed to buy meat from a guy. This was something that the shtetl felt was worthwhile for them. It was worth it for them to go through the hassle and announce the trefas like this. You'd be able to buy meat from non-Jews also. But the point is that to the extent that we're living in a makom shem achrizin, then this whole concern is a moot point. What are you worried about? Maybe you sold him a trefa, you wouldn't know about it. It's all you need to know is that there was no achraz, that there's a trefa. And everything is Pshita, says the Gemara, b'makom she'ein machrizin. The third case of b'makom she'ein machrizin, says the Gemara, do the math. Reisha v'seif b'makom she'ein machrizin. The first and the last case we said was b'makom she'ein machrizin. Mitziyasa b'makom she'ein machrizin. Does that make sense? Amar Abaye in Reisha v'seif b'makom she'ein machrizin. Mitziyasa b'makom she'ein machrizin. The Reisha is b'makom she'ein machrizin. The Seif is b'makom she'ein machrizin. The middle case was b'makom she'ein machrizin. Even though it's a little dachuk, you have one braisa that says three halachos that relate to different shtetlach, right? This is referring to this shtetl, this talking about that shtetl, this is going back to the original shtetl. It's a little dachuk. But Abaye said the brisa has to reconcile, has to make sense, and this is the only way to make a word. Rava said a different teretz. Kula b'makom shemachrizin. Really, the whole brisa is discussing a makom shemachrizin. So if the whole Brice is talking about a Makash Machriz, then we understand the middle case. What was the middle case? The middle case was where you're not allowed to sell Nevelos or Trevis to a guy. It's B'makam Shem Achrizen. Being that it's Makash Machrizen, you're allowed to buy from a guy. That's why you're not allowed to sell to a guy. The problem is, if we're talking about a Makash Machrizen, how do you understand the Reisha and the Seifa? The Reisha said that you're not allowed, that it's okay to sell a Gidhan, a Yerech Hatucha to a guy. What was the assumption? Because he can't sell it anyways. It's not true. If it's a Mokoim Shemachrizin, then he could sell it because a Yid's going to buy it from him. And the Seif as well. We proved it's talking about Mokoim Shemachrizin. So Rava came with a new Knech. Rava said, you're right, the Reish and the Seif are talking about Mokoim Shemachrizin, but it's talking about Shehachrizu, Gishmak. It's talking about what they actually made the Hachraza. Being that they made the Hachraza, you're vital not allowed to buy it from a guy. Because what's the whole point of the Hachraza? Be weird. Today, don't buy it from an Anj. That was the whole purpose of the Hachraza. So you're right. Ordinarily, b'makom shemachrizin, you would be allowed to buy from a guy, but only on a day where there was no hachraza. That's pashit. B'makom shemachrizin, if there was a hachraza, you're not allowed to buy from a guy. So a makom shemachrizin, where they actually made an announcement, it's the equivalent thereof of a makom shemachrizin. So Rav said the Reish and the Seifa, which imply that it's Usher to buy from a guy in the Veles and Trefus, are not talking about B'makom She'ein Machrizin where it's always Usher. No, it's talking about where really it's Mutter. It just so happens today it's Usher. Being that today it's Usher, so today it's okay to sell the, today it's okay to sell the cut up Yerech to your guy. What did Rava accomplish? B'tziyasa Shleich Rizu. And the middle case has to be talking about where there was no cross. What did Rava accomplish over what Abaya did? Abaya made the Reish and the Seifa talking about Mokim She'im Achrizin. The Mitziyasa was a Mokim She'im Achrizin. Different shtetlach. So the Reish was Kotzk, and then the Mitziyasa was Koznitz, and then the Seifa was Kotzk again. Rava didn't like that. Rava didn't want that different parts of the Braisa should be talking about different shtetlach. So he said, no, it's all the same shtetl. And it's all Kotzk. And it's all a Mokim She'im Achrizin. The difference is, this was on a day where they made the Achraz, where they didn't make Achraz. So Abaya preferred having different shtetlach. Rava wanted to be consistent in terms of what kind of city, what kind of mokoim the Bryce is talking about, but rather, and he was okay, he was willing to compromise and say, I'll make this like Kimter. Ashi said a third teretz, kuv mokoim she'im achrizin. Really, the whole Bryce is talking about mokoim she'im achrizin. The whole Bryce is talking about mokoim she'im achrizin. We understood the Reish and the Seifa. We didn't understand was the middle case. The middle case was, is that you're not allowed to sell avails and trefis to a guy. And the Bryce gave two reasons, the second of which was, why? That we're afraid he may resell it. If it's a Makash Machrizin, you can't buy from a guy anyways. So what's the concern he may resell it? We're afraid that he may sell it in front of a Yid, similar to the chash that we had earlier. So if he's going to sell it in front of a Yid, the Yid's going to see him sell it. It's Stafka over there that there's a concern. The Yid's going to say, oh, I saw the Yid sell it to the guy, so probably it's kosher. You're right. Ordinarily, it's not a chash because the Yid can't buy from a guy anyways. But there is a makam to be geyser in case you saw it with your own eyes. A yid did this transaction happen, and it's b'kahai gavna that it's going to be a problem. Zof the gemara vayte hechi machrizin. So we're talking about this makam shemachrizin, makam shemachrizin. What was the announcement? Amrei Yitzchak by Yosef. Yitzchak by Yosef said they used to say nafal bisrul b'nei chela. The announcement would be that there's meat that's meant for the b'nei chela. That's mean loosely translated the general populace. Is what we have right now. That was like the code word to know that it's not all kosher, mahadrin, glat, b'shoyzef, etc. meat, but there's meat here that's meant for the general populace that's in circulation. Don't buy meat today. Why are we talking in code? Why can't we just be clear? Why don't we just say that this is a treifa? So Gemara says leizofni, because they were afraid then the non-Jews wouldn't buy the meat either. They wanted the non-Jews. I mean, didn't we just learn the sugi mamish in today's staff? We had the sugi of Gnevis Stas. So you're telling me that maybe if you would make an announcement that this treifa is in circulation today, even the non-Jews wouldn't buy. So what do? You don't say that this treifa is. You don't say this treifus, and now you're fooling the non-Jews. Why isn't this Gnevis Das? The Gemara says, Inuhu de kamati nafshahim. And this is another asterisk on the halach of Gnevis Das. And that is that this is a little different. Because you're not telling him that it's kosher when really it's not kosher. You're not even making him believe it's kosher. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is you're making a vague announcement. You could have made a more clear announcement, and instead you chose to make a vague announcement. if the non-Jew wanted, he could have asked, tell me, what exactly does this announcement mean? And then you would have to be honest with him. No one's saying you wouldn't. But to make this vague announcement, that doesn't constitute Gnevas Das. And says the Gemara, this precedence for this Chiddush. Marzutra, who was the son of Rav Nachman. So the great Rav Nachman had a son whose name was Marzutra. And he was once traveling from Sichra to Bnei Mechuza. From the two cities. So Rav Marzutra, Beit Rav Nachman, is leaving Sichra. He's going towards Mechuza. Rava is coming from Mechuza. Rava was the Rav of Mechuza. Right, so Rava is coming from Mechuza together with Rav Safra towards Sichra. Pagu Adadi, they met each other. So the Gemara says, who's Savalapi with the Kasi? Marzutra thought that Rava heard that Marzutra's coming to Mechuza, and Rava went out to greet him. He thought they brought a whole entourage to go greet him. So, Amaluhu, so Marzutra immediately tells Rav and Rav Safra, you know, you didn't have to be so much shriach. It wasn't necessary for you to come out and greet me like this. Only Rav Safra. So Rav Safra told him, I'm not loy have you adina the kasima. So Rav Safra was brutally honest. He said, I'll tell you the truth. I had no idea that you were coming. He said, oh, but by the way, I have you adina. Had I known, they have the turkey, I would have brought food, you know, we would have paid for all the wine. Right, then he says, for sure. So to Gemara, Amalei Rava. So Rava told Rav Safra, my time Amrit Lehochi. He says, why do you have to tell this to him? Dachlish de Ladaite. I mean, he felt so good. Marzutra felt so good about himself. So why would you do this to him? Amalei. So he told him, I'll tell you why. Vakamatinale. Because I thought it's Gnevas Das. Isn't there an Issa Gnevas Das? So Rava said, that's not Gnevas Das. No, I never did anything. I mean, we didn't go out, make believe, purposely go to Sichra on the day that we knew that Marzutra was going to be coming so that he should think. We didn't do anything to mislead him. He just happened to think something based on an action that we did. Gnevas Das is when you do something, you're proactive on some level in a way that fools somebody into thinking something that didn't really happen. That's not what happened over here. We were doing our own thing. We were traveling from Mechuza to Sichra, and it just so happens that we met Marzutra, and in Marzutra's eyes, it seemed like we were being mechavad him. So, but being that we didn't do anything, we're not mechuyev to tell him that's not what happened. Safra held not that way. Either way, so this is another wrinkle to the halachas of Gnevas Das. And it sounds like, for sure, from the Maskanas HaGemara, Rava and the Teretz in the previous Gemara, why they made the announcement in a more vague way, and they weren't forced to say that we have a treifa today, is because even though it's true, there's something called Gnevas Das, and even though Gnevas Das is also even for a benayach, that's how chamer it is, but at the same time, in the Gemara, it would seem that the only time it's a problem is if you're doing something proactively. So you're walking into a beis avel and you have a bottle of wine. So it looks like you'd be mechabed him, and really it's only half full. Or you take oil, you put it on top of the wine, so it looks like you're giving him oil, or really you're giving him wine. Or any of the aforementioned cases that we had in the many brises and members and Tzadik Dalim and Al. But the point is, in all of those cases, Hatzad HaShovah Shevem is that you're actually doing something. But to the extent that you're not doing something, it's not going to be an issue. Regardless, the sugya of Gnevas Das is a Gemara, a Masechtas Chulin, Daf Tzadik Aleph, you have it on Amid Aleph, you have it on Amid Beis. This is the Makar to the laws of Gnevas Das. And one thing that was clear in the Gemara, that there's an Issa Gnevas Das, and that the Issa Gnevas Das is even for a Benayach. I think it's Kedai to just speak out a little bit of background, just to have a little bit of a better appreciation as it relates to Gnevas Das, but specifically with an Akbam. And that is the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Gneva. So this is literally chapter 1, verse 1. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Hilchos Gneva. Says the Rambam, Kol Agoyne Mamoin, Mishova Pruta Umayil. If somebody steals money, Shova Pruta and higher, Oivra Loisa, say, he's Oivra Loisa, say, Shenema Loisa Gneva. Vein Loikin Alav, say, there's no Malkis for Loisa Gneva, Shari Nitin Letashlumen. Shahaganev Chayva Oisa Torah Lashal. If somebody steals, it's Nitin Letashlumen, and Aloisa say, that's Nitin Letashlumen. The Rambam in Hilchos Gzeila says Nitein Las Nitik Lasei. Here he doesn't say Nitik Lasei. He says Nitein La Tashlumen. A lot of raid in Bava Kama. But the point is, there's no Malkus for the lav of Gnev. Says the Rambam. The Echad Agoyin Mamin Yisrael. Doesn't matter if you steal money from a Yid. Oh yeah, Agoyin Mamin Goy. Or even Avay Dazar. Or even if you steal from a guy, but not just a guy, a pagan. Or even Avay Dazar. The Echad Agoyin Mamin Zagadol. Oh yes, a katan. Or if you steal from a gadol, or you think maybe he's a katan, it's different. Doesn't matter. It's Gnev Day Raisa, and you're over Aloisa say Shenemar. Loi sig noivu. The Rambam in Hilchos Gneva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Ches, is discussing the halachos of Mishkoilos. Perek Zayin Aloch Aleph. Hashoyke lechaveiro b'mishkoyleis chaseirois min hamishkol sheskimu olav bnei oisa hamedino. So if somebody weighs and he uses improper weights, oya hamoidet b'dima chaseiro, oya hamida sheskimu olav, hareza oiva b'loi sase, shenema leisasu ovel b'mishpat, b'mida, b'mishkol, b'msura, sukkim in parashas kiseitze, everyone knows this aloha, that you're not allowed to use false weight, says the Rambam in Halacha Ches, Echad Hanoisim Noisim Yisrael. It doesn't matter if this person who used these improper weights was handling with a yid, Oyem Magoy, Oyved Avoy Dazar, or with a non-Jew that's an Oyved Avoy Dazar, Imadad, Oyshokal Bechaser, Oyved Beloisase, he's Oyved Beloisase, the Chayav Lahachser, and he's going to have to give it back. Says the Magid Mishnah, how did the Rambam know that the Isser Mishkoilois, Chaserois, and Mida Mishkol, and Mishkol, how did he know it relates to a non-Jew also? Maybe it only relates to a Jew, says the Magamishna, the Rambam held it was Pashit. He said, because if someone's over the Isser Mishkoilos, he's a Gav. And Geneva, the Rambam Paskin, the Perek Aleph, Aloch Aleph, relates, Echad HaGoyim Mami Yisrael, Oy Goy Eved Avay Dezara. So if Geneva relates to a non-Jew, there's no reason that this halacha should relate to a non-Jew as well. In other words, the Rambam Shita is that Geneva's Akum is Aser. Not only is it Aser, it's Aser Midei Raisa. And it's not a halacha that's tucked away somewhere in Hilchas Geneva. It's right in the beginning of Hilchas Geneva. When the Rambam introduces Geneva, he says, Echad HaGoyim Mami Yisrael, Oy HaGoyim Mami Goy. Just like everybody understands that in the laws of Geneva on a deraisa level, it doesn't matter if you steal from a gadol or a katan. What's the difference? It doesn't matter if you steal from a Jew or a non-Jew. It's the same exact halacha. And the Rambam says it again in Hilchas Geneva, Perek Zayin Halacha Ches, and the halacha of the Mishkoilos, the way the Magid Mishnah understands it. Incidentally, I was thinking, you know, the Michas Chinuch speaks out many times that according to the Rambam, if somebody steals, in addition to the Isser Geneva, he's also overly sachmoid. And lo yisazava, right? You're not allowed to covet your friend's thing. So if you go ahead and take somebody's thing, there would be a lo yisachmoid. So would you have lo yisachmoid by gneva zachum? But the truth is, Michas Chinuch speaks it out mafurish. He says in Mitzvah Lamed Ches, at the very end, after this whole classic arichos on the laws of lo yisachmoid, he says, there's for sure no lo yisachmoid when it comes to a non-Jew. Interesting. Why? Because listen to the words of the Aseres Adibris, Parashas Yisrei. Lo yisachmoid beis reyecho. It says Reyecha three times. We know Reyehu was always Memnayit Oiv Lekechavim. So it says it in Cheschenoch, even though the Rambam Sheet is Geneva Sachem is Aser, and it relates to Mishkoilis and other halachas as well. But Leisachmoid, that piece of Leisachmoid, that you're not going to have by an Eni Yehudi. The Rambam in Hilchas Deyos, Perek Beis Halacha Vav, brings the halacha of Geneva Stas. So in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph Hilchas Geneva, Rambam's talking about the raw halacha of Geneva. Perek Zayin Halacha Ches, the Rambam's discussing using, being dishonest in business, which is the halacha of the Mishkoilos. And in both places, the Rambam says the halacha relates to a Yid and to an Eini Yehudi equally. Says the Rambam Hilchas Deyos, V'loisiyah, I'm skipping, Echad Bepev, Echad Belev. A person should not be Echad Bepev, Echad Belev. El Toichi Gevara. The way a person is supposed to conduct himself is b'toichi gebari, v'inyin shebelev hu adav shebepeh. And a person should speak what he feels, meaning don't present yourself one way when really you're somebody else. Then the Rambam says, v'osr lignoiv das habrius. It's also to be going of das. Afilu das agoy. Even a non-Jew. Keitzah lo yimkor l'goy basen aveilo b'chal shchuta harsukya. A person shouldn't sell to a non-Jew basen aveilo when he's presenting it as Basa Shchuta, even though he's going to say, what's the difference? It's not with Na'iver, he's an Eni Yehudi, he's allowed to eat. But it doesn't matter. Geneva Stas. Either way, the Rambam brings many of the examples that were mentioned in our Sugya, and the Rambam concludes, Elisfas Emes, Veruach Nochoin, Velev Tahar, Mikol Omo. So it sounds like the Rambam's talking about Madreikis, right? It sounds like you're like in the 14th parak of the Mesilas Yisharim. No, this is halachas. The Rambam says, Osir. So he says, V'osir, Lignev Das Abrius. Now all these halachas are brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The mechaber is in Simen Sameach, Tiyodua, Simen Shin Mem Ches, in Cheshem Mishba, Kol Agoynev, Afil L'Shavar Pruta. If somebody steals L'Shavar Pruta, Afil, Aivra, Lav, D'Loisik, Noiv, V'chayv L'Shalom. Echad Agoynev, Mamin Yisrael, Oy Agoynev, Mamin Shal Akum. Echad Agoynev, Migadol, Oy Mikot. Says the Ramah, Ta'os Akum. What about Ta'os Akum? Could go in V'Atoisev, V'Cheshman. Can you fool, let's say you're better in math than the Eni Yehudi that you're doing business with. So can you fool him? Or you're not going to steal from him. You're just not going to repay a loan. Mutter. You just have to make sure it's never going to come to Achil Hashem. The Yeshayim says, the Ramah, the Aser Latoysa. Yeshayim says, no, it's Aser. Elim Tom may ask Mishar. If he himself made a mistake, you don't have to tell him about the mistake he made. But you can't do an action to go ahead and fool. Says the Bir Agra, what's the Makar to the Yeshayim in the Ramah? The second Pshat says, the Gra, it's Pashit. You know what the Pshat is? Because it's Da'afilu Gnevis Das Asru B'chulun Daf Tzadik Dalam Manal V'chein Pasuk HaRambam. It's Pasha, because if Gnevis Das is Asru, how could Toysakum be Asru? So everyone knows the Sugya of Toysakum, and it's 2 days in the Ramah. But the bottom line is that the Goyin says that the V'yei Shomrim in the Ramah is Pasha. Because if Gnevis Das Akum is Asru, how could Toys Das Akum be Asru? So again, this is just a little bit of the background, just to set the table with the different Rambams and Perek Aleph Aloch Aleph, Perek Zayin Aloch Ches and Uchis Gneva, Perek Bez Aloch Vav and Uchis and the Mechab and the Ramah and Simon Samech, which is a little bit more complicated. But just to speak out one tshuva, a tshuva from a guy in Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, it's an Igris Moshe, it's Chayshem Mishpat, Chelek Beis, and it's Simon Lamed. The Shaila that was presented to Rav Moshe was, apparently, once upon a time, I actually remember this tumult a little bit, is people were stealing the New York State Regents. So we don't have these problems in Lakewood. But once upon a time, or New Jersey, I should say. Once upon a time, people were stealing the New York State Regents. And the question was presented to Rav Moshe about the halachic permissibility of high school boys stealing Regents to benefit their marks. Says, they were getting the answers. Says Rav Moshe, hine, bedvar she'losei al masha shama shebi yeshivais matirim lehatalmidim. Listen to how the question was presented. It sounded like this was an inside job. The yeshivas were actually behind this. Lignoi v'shachuvais lehasheilois b'mevchanei hasiyim she'oisa ha'medina regents kidei lohoinois ulekabel ha'tu'udai she'gamru b'tayim. So listen how Rav Moshe goes without this. Number one, hine, dover ze also every word in this tshuva you give him a day. Hine, dover ze Aser, it's Aser. Loi rak midina de malchusa. Number one's midina de malchusa. You're not allowed to do it. So if government doesn't allow you to do it, so it's Aser right away. But besides for that, it's Aser midai reisa, without dina de malchusa. Meaning a speeding limit is the din of the machus. Doesn't say in the Torah you can't drive more than 65 miles an hour in the Garden State Parkway. So ask your local rabbi about din of the machus adina. So number one, din of machus adina is an entity unto itself. So you have din of the malchusa. Number two, for sure it's Gnevis Das. She gam kenos to the Amar Shmu b'chulun daf tzadik dalem la. She also b'gnevis das abriyos. Va'afilu daito shalakum. So the kolshkin hachash who Gnevis Das the kuliyam afli Yisrael. So number one, you have dina the machusa, said Rav Moshe. Number two, you have Gnevis Das. But here says Rav Moshe even worse. You know why? El dugam Gnevis dover mamish. Because what's going to happen? One day this person is going to go on a job interview, and his potential employer is going to ask him, so what's your highest level of education? Did you graduate high school? He's going to say, yeah, he's going to have a high school diploma. But in reality, he doesn't have a high school diploma. He cheated his way through high school. And as a result, his diploma is not real. This person's going to hire him on the das that he's a high school graduate, when in reality, he's not. So it's going to come out that every paycheck that this person deposits, he's a ganav, because he's taking money that really he has no right to take, because this person wanted to hire someone that has a job. Now, it's interesting. The person told Rav Moshe, it sounds like, in the Shaila, one of the things that was presented to him is that there's an idea in Shas that if someone's makbid on a dover she'enoi tzarech, rashay l'shaker. So let's say you have this, you're stubborn, you're makbid on a certain thing, but you're being silly. Well, why? Who cares? Does it really matter? So it could be such a paid that doesn't have so much value. So he told Rav Moshe that, maybe this is not such an issue. He says, because he thinks it's important that this person have a high school degree in order to get a job. A lot of people that dropped out of high school that made a lot of money, right? So why does it even matter? So Rav Moshe dismissed it. He said, first of all, you're not allowed to lie, so which is another reason you can't do this. But he says, besides, I disagree with you 100%. Rav Moshe says, "V'oy dekan shemakbidin in shivadei shayich lahakbid." This is not a davar she'ein rashay lahakbid. This is a real thing. Diyesh vaday dvarim. There are certainly things. The mishu baki b'lemudei chayil who yoyse yoydeya b'inyane iske parnasa mimasu umatan. There's definitely value to a degree, and if someone has an education, there's certain things he'll know how to do that someone who doesn't have a degree won't be able to do. Umbemele vaday as. For sure, it's going to be awesome. There was another cheshbon. The other cheshbon was, there's so much bittul Torah that's going to come about by studying for the regents. It was a big deal. So if there's so much bittul Torah, right? So maybe because of the cheshbon of bittul Torah, it should be okay to steal the regents. Says Rav Moshe, "Pshegam b'shvil limud ha-Torah aser lignoiv." What, it doesn't say that that Talmud Torah is Doicha Geneva. So just because you're right, there's a bit of Torah Cheshbon, that's not a reason for you to be able to go ahead. So he says, and Elamai, this person, you know, the Olam, they're such masmidim, and they just, it's very hard for them. V'nafshem chashke b'Torah. Benanza. They're at the point where you can't get married. I can't. There's a cheshbon, a bit of Torah. Then you know what? Then you shouldn't worry. Then Eloi Lidoi, and Ramesh was fine with that. He said, then don't go to high school and don't cheat your way through high school. And Metz Hashem will take care of you. But to go and to sit through the classes, but then cheat your way through because you don't want to study for it, that's not good. And then Ramesh says, that's not bit of Torah. He says, because these people, anyways, going to English. Elamai, they don't want to study. So he says it's atzlus ba'alma kishul boimid ba'ofet shalei leida ki azmanu al kopanu mevatel. He's anyways wasting time. The adaraba, you know what's coming from this? Number one, misragul shalei leida mashalei. You're sitting in a class and you're not paying attention. You're training yourself to learn without really having to know what you're learning, which is not a good thing. And not just that, misragul atzlus. You're training yourself to be lazy. Either way, Ramosha told him at the end of the tshuva, so, I mean, it was pretty clear that you're not allowed to steal the regents. But as far as halacha l'maisa, but then Ramosha said that the people that are spreading these rumors that the yeshivas were behind it, he says, chas v'shalom, it's not true. And he was very, very upset about it. And he said he thinks a lot of it is kina, because they know that the b'nei yeshiva, a lot of them excel in their limudei choyl, adifim mitalmidim shalom, you know, much better than a lot of the kids that go to, you know, the non-yeshivas, and there's a kina, and there's anti-Semitism, there's a lot of sentiments that are enmeshed in this rumor. So Ramosh should hell, don't believe the rumor. But as far as the halachic permissibility, that's something that's definitely not going to be okay. There's another interesting tshuva in Igros Moshe Yerderich El Galef. Maybe we'll save that for next week.